Ministries.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well this morning. Thanks for all the visitors coming to support kind of on Baptism Day. We're excited to have you with us, but also excited for what this day is going to be about. Before we get to that, we will have kind of a moment of recognition for those who are being baptized a little bit later on. We're going to call the kids up, and we'll kind of all do that together. But we've been in a series here on the book of 1 John. And so as we start, there's kind of like a little mini message that relates to the passage we're talking about today. And it's pretty relevant to this idea of baptism. So I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw a picture. I was just going to keep this kind of general, but I'll just point it out specifically. Like, I saw a picture of Will and Emmy's family that was on Facebook. And I was taken back by how much I was feeling like JJ is starting to look like Will, right? So I don't know if maybe you guys see that or not. But seeing them regularly all the time, I never really saw it together. But this picture with those facial expressions and all that sort of thing, I went, oh, they really look a lot alike. And like, I don't know, maybe I should have seen it before, but I saw it in the picture. And I was thinking that just like a child who's born of a parent, they're going to tend to look like the parent or one of them typically. Those who are born again and become children of God eventually start to look like their heavenly Father. At least they should. And that's kind of the big picture idea in the passage that we're seeing today. It's that same spirit that John writes this section of scripture we're about to read. And our theme for today is real righteousness, which is ultimately about looking and living like Jesus. So 1 John 2, verses 29 through 3:10, and the first section of this, the verses won't be up on the screen, just the ones that we focus in on today. So if you want to follow along in your Bible or your Bible apps, we're 1 John 2. And John says this, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." Okay, let's pray as we dive into this a little bit this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your instruction to us. Thank you for your heart for us and your desire to see us as followers of Jesus, look like followers of Jesus. We pray that this morning would challenge us in that. And we pray that your word would be what is speaking to us this morning. That it would be your word, your heart, your spirit that is prompting us. And that we would be open, attentive to what you have for us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, normally, when we get a passage like this, my approach is kind of, okay, let's start to break it all down a little bit. You know, go through it word by word or verse by verse, phrase by phrase, that kind of thing, and then we'll kind of teach through it. I love to dig into the little details and like to see the dots connected and that sort of thing. But sometimes when we do that, it's easy to see to lose sight of the forest through the trees kind of idea. And today I want us to focus on seeing the big picture. So rather than breaking it down, I want to sum it up. Okay? So John says, look, it's obvious we belong to Jesus when we demonstrate the righteousness that he displayed. Right? And it's obvious we do not belong to Jesus when we demonstrate the sinfulness that he came to destroy. Right? So there's two basic principles in here. And the first one is this, the righteous practice righteousness. Right? The righteous practice righteousness. And in this text, he says these kind of things. The righteous have been born of God. The righteous shall be like him. The righteous will purify themselves. The righteous do not keep sinning. And specifically meaning like willfully going to not keep sinning. The righteous cannot keep sinning. Because they are children of God. They see him as he is. And they find hope in him. Right? So in short, the righteous practice righteousness. That's repeated kind of numerous times. While the righteous will make it a practice to live in righteousness, the unrighteous will not. Right? The unrighteous do not. And he says that the unrighteous are of the devil, that they have not seen him, have not seen God, that they do not know him, and that they do not know us. Right? Because they practice lawlessness, make a practice of sinning, and keep on sinning. And in short, basically, the unrighteous practice unrighteousness. Now, I know when we hear a passage like this or these phrases like this, like we don't like to think of or see people who don't know God or don't follow Jesus as of the devil. That's a hard word to hear, but it's what Scripture tells us. That until or unless we come to faith in Jesus, we are at odds with God the Father. And until that happens, that's exactly who we are, children of the devil. And that seems pretty hopeless. But in the middle of this passage, it says in 1 John 3:8, the reason that Jesus, the Son of God, appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Right? So that gives us incredible hope in him. Now, how did he do that? Of course, he lived the perfect righteous life that we couldn't. He measured up to God's perfection, which we can't. He bested sin. He was righteous. Jesus was righteous. He did everything right in God's eyes. Not once did he do anything that was contrary to God's heart. And then he willingly sacrificed his perfect life on a cross for our sin. Now, of course, he rose again, and that showed that he had conquered sin and conquered death. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we're set free from that sin. The righteousness that Jesus displayed, that he actually accomplished, that God declares him as righteous, right? That righteousness of Jesus, it gets credited to us when we put our faith and trust in Christ, even though we don't deserve it. Right? Like that's how Jesus destroyed the work of the devil and those works which, of course, are sin and unrighteousness. Now, here's the part that he's also getting to and kind of the big idea here is that if sinful things are what Jesus came to destroy and we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then why would we willfully engage in the sinful things that Jesus came to destroy? Right? We can't do that. We can't do that. And so here's kind of the next point is this. We don't revel in what our king hates. Right? We don't revel in what our king hates. I heard someone say this phrase a couple of weeks ago, and it really stuck with me, and it fits what this is all about. We don't revel in what our king hates. The word revel means to get great pleasure from something or a situation or an activity. It's like to celebrate something, usually in a loud, boisterous way. And this statement is saying, look, we don't revel in or participate in or endorse or celebrate the sinful stuff that Jesus hates. We avoid it. Like, that's what he died for. Now, one time we did live for that stuff, right? But then when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, that old sinful self, that is dead. It's gone because Jesus makes us this new creation. He makes us a new creation. Scripture says he transfers us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son Jesus. Like, we're no longer enemies with God. We're reconciled with him. We're no longer separated from God because of our sin. Instead, we're brought near. We're no longer strangers. And he's no longer a stranger to us. We belong to him now. We're children. We become children of God. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we're living it out perfectly. Like, we now have this perfect sinless life that we never make any mistakes. We never do anything wrong. But it does mean that the righteousness of Jesus, who lived in perfect harmony with God's heart and died as a sacrifice for our sin, right? That righteousness is credited to our account because we put our faith and trust in him. It's not that we're actually righteous, like as if we lived that life, but we get the credit for it. And when God looks at us, he's like, yeah, you're righteous because of what my son Jesus had done. We get credit for what Jesus did. It's pretty amazing. And as a result, though, if we aren't, or if we're born of God, then we aren't going to consistently, persistently, and like unrepentantly indulge in the activities that he came to set us free from. Right? Because we learn to love the things that Jesus loves. And we learn to hate the things that Jesus hates. He loves righteousness. Right? He always honored God the Father. So will we. Right? We will learn that. He hates sin, and so will we. So we don't revel in what our king hates. Right? We don't revel in what our king hates. Instead, and here's kind of the last thing, we practice righteousness and live by faith in order to please the king. Right? We practice righteousness and live by faith in order to please our king. John says, no one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning because he has been born again. Instead, he or she makes a practice of righteousness, right living in the eyes of God. Like, that's what we strive for. Once we become followers of Jesus, we pursue righteousness. Now, I want you to imagine something, if you can. Imagine two, I guess theoretically, but two identical people living the exact same life. Because I think we sometimes see it this way. They make all the same decisions. Some good choices, some bad choices. They live the same number of years and days and minutes and even seconds. For all intents and purposes, their two lives are exactly the same as each other's. There's only one difference between them. One of them put their faith and trust in Christ. They became born of God. The other did not. Now, if you think about that scenario, let me ask you, is that even possible? Is it even possible for that scenario to exist? I would say no. There's no way that it can exist because if someone puts their faith and trust in Christ, they will not make all the same choices they would have had they not met Jesus. Right? That's the idea. A Christ follower, someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus, will practice righteousness. At least we should be striving for that. A non-believer, someone who has not, will not. So our lives should look different as followers of Jesus. If knowing Jesus doesn't make our life look different, then do we really know Jesus? I think that's John's point, right? We practice righteousness and live by faith in order to please our King. That's what we're about. I mean, you've probably heard the expression, right? Like, well, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it waddles like a duck, then it's a duck. Well, similarly, if someone looks like Jesus and talks like Jesus and lives like Jesus, you would probably conclude they're a follower of Jesus. But if someone doesn't, then they're not. Right? This is kind of boiling it all down to what John is getting at here. Verse 10, the final verse of this passage says, "But this, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil." Right? It's evident in this. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. And those who practice righteousness are. If we're followers of Jesus, it should be obvious. That's what John is getting at. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying this morning that you can earn your way to heaven. You cannot do that. There's none of us who can level up to right standing with God on our own strength, on our own power. But once the righteousness of Jesus is credited to us, like when we put our faith and trust in Christ, then we should strive to practice righteousness, live by faith in order to please our King. And I think that's the big picture of the message of what John is saying here. The righteous will practice righteousness. The unrighteous will not. And of course, as followers of Jesus, we strive to be righteous. In the power and strength of God, yes, but that's what we live for. We live to please our King. We're going to close in prayer if the worship team wants to come up. I'm going to close this segment in prayer. And we're going to close with this time with one song of worship. And it really is about reflecting on the reality that Jesus, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, He is our King. And we worship and we praise Him. So let's pray and we'll worship together. Father God, we do thank You that You have given us Jesus, Your one and only Son, to come to this world, to live that perfect life that honors You. He was righteous. He was perfect in every way. Something we could never accomplish. And yet He laid His life down for us, willingly sacrificed Himself because of His great love, because of Your great love for us. And He invites us to come to a place of faith and trust in Him, to surrender ourselves and to trust in Him for forgiveness, for mercy, and for life forever with You. And this morning, we recognize that if we've come to that place in our lives, that we want to live for that King, for Jesus who is our King. We want to strive for the righteousness that You called us to. We don't want to live for the stuff around us that is sin, because that's what You gave Your life for, Jesus. And we don't want to be about those things. And we know we're not perfect. We know we need Your forgiveness, Your mercy, time and time again. But we thank You that we still are credited with the righteousness that You have, so that we can be made right with God, who is perfect and holy. And Lord God, this morning, if there's anyone here who is hearing this and for the first time is saying, I want to be made right. I know I am not living for God. I know I'm not righteous, and I need the mercy and the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. For the first time in my life, I'm ready to do that. Would you just simply pray, Lord, I know, Jesus, that You are God's Son, that You died for me, so that I could be forgiven and made right with God. I ask you today for the first time, for the very first time, to be my Lord, meaning I will follow you, and to be my Savior, because I need you to save me from this sin, this falling short of God that I do. Thank you for hearing me. I put my faith and trust in you today. And for those who are here this morning where you've been following Christ, it's a reminder for us that we also too daily put our faith and trust in him. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus. We set aside and put to death all that is sin. We don't chase after the things that he died for. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for when we've wandered off, when we've run after those things instead. And we thank you. We thank you for the righteousness that you have that we get even though we don't deserve it. We just thank you for all of this, and we worship and praise you as our King, the one that we want to please. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Well, welcome, kids, up here this morning. Glad that you're with us for a few minutes upstairs. We have, obviously, for those who know what's happening, this is a really significant day. We are having a number of people who are going to be baptized. I think we've got 7 people who have decided to be baptized today. I'm going to call them up right away if you want to come up. So we have JJ, Evie, Croy, Melissa, Tierra, Brett, and Sylvia, and I think everybody is here today. They all made it. So as they're coming up, you can be right there. Brett's going to be coming up slower than everybody else. Sorry to make you do the stairs, buddy. Come on up. Here, why don't you step? Can you guys step up a little bit just to make some room? Okay. So I want to share just a little bit about this. I've asked each of them to come up so we can acknowledge the step that they're taking. Baptism for us here at Portico, because every church does baptism a little different, but baptism in the scriptures, we believe, is a response to someone who comes to believe in Jesus, right? It's symbolic of surrendering to Christ. Just as Jesus died on the cross, we too are dying to ourselves, our sin, and we're buried. Like under the water is symbolic of being buried like Jesus. But then we are raised to a new spiritual life. That's what baptism represents. It's a public statement. It's acknowledging we've come to believe in Jesus and intend to follow him for the rest of our lives. It's also a representation, like an external act that represents the internal amazing thing that's going on inside of us, the spiritual new life that we have. But the key for us, we feel like, is that baptism is a response to having faith in Jesus, right? That's what is happening for those who are choosing to be baptized today. Now, you'll hear a brief statement from each of them about how they came to follow Jesus and why they're choosing to be baptized today. Not right now. We'll do that out at the baptism place. I know they're all freaking out right now. They should know this if they read the notes. No, we will have them share a little bit about that, okay? So you get to hear a little bit, a brief summary of their story. But for now, what I want to do is just kind of read a statement. And I want to read this statement and just ask for you to respond, yes, I do, to each of the statements, if it is what you truly believe, because it is kind of the essence of what you are saying yes to and being baptized to. So there's about 6 of them, okay? So first of all, do you believe that Jesus is the only Son of God the Father and that he was sent into the world as his promised Savior?
Yes, I
do. Do you believe he lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for sin?
Yes, I
do. Do you believe he was buried and rose again on the third day?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe he conquered sin and death? Do you believe he is the way, the truth, the life, and the only way to eternal life in heaven with God?
Yes.
And whether it's at this moment now or at some point in the past, have you chosen to place your faith and trust in Jesus to forgive your sins and to make you right with God?
Yes.
Okay. If anyone genuinely says yes to those things, it's with great joy that we invite you to be baptized today, right? So understand that the act of baptism itself is not what makes us right with God. It's Jesus who makes us right with God and putting our faith and trust in him. This act of being baptized is a public expression declaring your intent to follow Jesus and that you have taken or are taking that step of faith today. It's an external symbol of what is taking place in you internally. So I'd just like to pray for these individuals who are going to be taking this step. And would you join me, please? Father God, we are thankful for each one today who is making a bold statement by saying, yes, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you died for my sins. I do believe that you rose from the dead, that you conquered sin and death. I believe you're the only way to eternal life, and I'm putting my faith and trust in you, or I've done so. Today, I'm taking this step to publicly declare that, yes, I'm a Christian. I am following you, Jesus. I believe. We pray that this day would be a memorable one for each of these individuals. We pray that it would be a reminder and a symbol of what you have accomplished in their life, whether their journey has been a long one in that they've followed you years ago but are taking this step today, or whether they're relatively new to following you and are taking this step today. We know that you work in each of our lives in different ways, but we're thankful for each one of them and for what you have been accomplished. It's a testimony to you. It brings glory to you to see all of this happen today, and we're so grateful to be a part of it. And so we pray for these individuals as they are baptized today, and that you would continue to bless and work in their life moving forward. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, can we say a thank you and a congratulations to all of them who are going to be doing that?